just Korach. Parshas Korach starts over the following pasuk: Vikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi v'Dosan v'Aviram ben Eliyav v'On ben Peles ben Ruvain. So Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi and Dosan and Aviram, the sons of Eliyav, and On ben Peles, who's not mentioned anywhere throughout the rest of the parsha, the sons of Ruvain. The sons of Reuben, all three of those people, Dothan and Abiram and Oben Pelas, are from Reuben. He took something. We don't know what he took. And then it says, Yekumu l'fnei Moshe, they got up in front of Moshe, v'anashim yibnei Yisrael, chamishum masayim, and people from Yisrael, 250 people, nesi eida kriye moed anshe shein. Number one, does not say what they took. That's the strange part. Number two, it does not say that the 250 people went up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Just says they went up against Moshe Rabbeinu, and there happened to have been 250 other people. But it doesn't say what they did. And they were on nesi eida, kriye moed, anshe shein. Great names for these people. Great names for them. It seems like, and if you go through the parsha, it seems that it had something against Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership and Aaron HaKohen being the Kohen Gadol, that they didn't agree with those decisions, that they felt that somebody else should become the Kohen Gadol, somebody else should be the leader of Klal Yisrael, that somebody else should be in charge.
They didn't go up against Rabbi Shetty said this morning that it's because they were fighting amongst themselves. They weren't actually fighting.
Without a question, there was fighting amongst themselves. The famous Shalol Hashem Shemayim board that they had a machlok is Shalol Hashem Shemayim. And Pirkei Avos says Korach v'Adaso. It doesn't say Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu. Famous board. Yes, that's 100% true. But there was clearly an agenda that some people had, whether it was for Moshe or Aaron or whatever it was. There was an agenda that they all had for one another. And what was it? Nepotism is a big word that might be misused in this context. Sometimes can be, sometimes won't be. We're not going to, let's not go into claims. Reb Levi Yitzchak Ribbentish says the following thing. After the Meraglim, people were restless and they were upset. They got very, very upset. They found out that they're not going to Eretz Yisrael anymore. That got people so upset. They sat there and they said, what's wrong with them? There was a begam, there was something wrong with the love that they had for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because up until now, at least according to Ramban that says the Meraglim happened before Parshas Korach, there was an issue that they sat there and they said to themselves, listen, we love Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has done everything for us. Nothing went wrong. But all of a sudden, something huge happened. Egel Azov was one thing. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't around. But this was huge. They're not going into Eretz Yisrael. We have to be in the Midbar for another 39 years and then we're all going to die? And we're not going to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael? What happened? So there's a big difference between Dora Midbor and the door that entered Eretz Yisrael. The door that actually was Nichnas L'Eretz Yisrael. Dora Midbor has that name as Medaber, the ones who spoke. What does that mean, Dora Midbor? Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu did was through Dibor. He never did any action. There was no action involved. He either davened or he learned. He davened for tshuva or he davened for Klal Yisrael to get something or he learned. And memela, things happened. The wars were won. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to go out in the war and fight anybody. He didn't have to do anything to make the sea split. Actually, many others jumped in. But he didn't have to do that. Hitting the rock is a great call, Yaakov. And that's one of the reasons why he couldn't go into that Eretz Yisrael. That's something for next week. But Moshe Rabbeinu did everything through Torrance Field. There was no real Asiyah. Tzadik goes over Hashem Mekayim. The famous line that any tzadik that goes in and says something, that automatically a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim. That's why you got to be very careful when you speak to Gedolim. Because if they say something that goes a little bit off, you can get nailed from it. But the next door was completely different. The next generation had to fight wars in Eretz Yisrael. Had Moshe Rabbeinu led Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, if he would have led them into Israel, everything would have been fine. They would have walked inside, all the 31 nations would have just dropped dead. Everybody would have just dropped dead or left the land or whatever it was. They wouldn't have to fight a single thing. They wouldn't have to pick up a weapon. Everything would have been fine.
What was the door after the Midbar?
Door of Yoshua. It's called Door Yoshua. A carbon copy. A very, very good call. But still, the moon, which means it's reflection of Moshe Rabbeinu, but not exactly Moshe Rabbeinu. He tried getting involved in the things that Moshe Rabbeinu had, but nobody had the Dibor of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody had that Sfakoria Meira, the pure Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Thus, when Yoshua fought, it was a real fight. There was a real war, except for one war. The first one, by Yericho. Because by Yericho, it was still the power of Moshe Rabbeinu that was within them. So what did he do? He said, Aleinu L'Shabeach. And he davened as he walked around seven times around the city, and they were able to destroy the city with Dibor. It doesn't say anything about an actual fight with Yericho. They went inside, they knocked down the walls, and somehow all the people were just dead, except for Rahav Azon and the other people around there, but it wasn't a real fight, it wasn't a real battle of Asiyah. Every other war was an Asiyah. The first war that they fought against the Ai, they actually lost. because they didn't put enough people inside. And there was one person who had got, obviously, who had taken a cherem that was from Achan and everything like that. Korach's kind of revolved around this difference. He said the Meraglim wanted to stay spiritual. That was what we talked about last week. They wanted to have spiritual lives, Rukhni lives, live in the clouds outside of Eretz Yisrael, not have to deal with any gashmias. You don't have to work. You don't have to worry about money. You don't have to worry about food. We got everything. We got mon, we got a be'er, we got a nanin. We've got nothing to worry about whatsoever. That was the Meraglim kind of. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I don't want that. You shouldn't have lives that go into that. And then what? And then made them stay in those clouds. And made them keep that mon. And made them keep that be'er. Said Korah, something's wrong. What's wrong here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want this spirituality. And then he leaves us in this Rukhniyus life? He should have brought us out to Israel and made us fight. That's what he should have done. I don't get it. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? He said, it's not God that's deciding this. It's Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have the power to do anything in Asiya. He knows that in order to defeat Eretz Yisrael, we have to go and fight a war. And Moshe Rabbeinu knows he can't do it. That's why he sent Yoshua in the war against Amalek. That's why he never fights. Because he knows he doesn't have the power to do it. Somebody else might, Yoshua might, but he doesn't. Said Korach, he can't be the leader. And Aaron a Kohen Gadol is supposed to stop bad things from happening. He's supposed to daven in order to make sure things don't happen that are bad. But look what's happened. We've had the Meraglim, we've had the Misonim, we've had the Sabu Taiva, the Asafsu Asher Bekirbam. We've had all these issues. But Yisomei Arashem, all these things happen, and it's under his watch. So Aaron should be taken down as well. Korach had tainus, and it was good tainus. He's not an idiot, Korach. You got to remember, this guy is he's a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. He saw a Nevuah. When Moshe Rabbeinu called out and he said, Mila Hashem Elai, who's with me when we're going up against God? Korach answered. He carried the Aron Kodesh, which is no says no sub. He was carried by the Aron Kodesh.
You say going up against God. I mean, you mean the ego.
Mila Hashem Elai, right, up against the ego. Did I say go up against God? That would be a strange thing to hear, and we'll have to hear it on the tape. But either way, but that time, that's what he said. He was saying, if it's not time for Moshe Rabbeinu to die yet, then it's time for Moshe Rabbeinu to step down from his position. It's time for everything else to go through. Moshe works through Dibur, through Rukhniyus, and we're not living lives of Rukhniyus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that we don't want that. We're not the problem. He's the problem. That's what Korach said. Mida k'neged mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that Moshe Rabbeinu did a pu'ula, did something on the earth, and caused the earth to open up, and not just for them to die, like you see in the Gemara, they put their eyes upon them and they turn into a bag of dust and bones. They did the power of that. I'm sorry? It wasn't a davening. It happened. It was an asiyah that just happened. So that's what we're talking about here. That's what Mida k'neged, because he thought that a physical misa, a physical death, more than anything else, it was different from the spiritual death that they had. Isn't it strange? Throughout the entire Torah, whenever Bnei Yisrael sins or does something stupid, Moshe Rabbeinu steps up and he says, God, let him go. In Mitzrayim, after they left, all the stupid things that Bnei Yisrael have done. Moshe Rabbeinu is praying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't kill him off. Don't do this. Don't do that. Last week's parsha in the Meraglim. In this week's parsha, what does he do? I mean, we can't understand what he does. All of a sudden, he immediately gets up and he says, he goes down on his face, gets up and he says, in the morning, everybody will find out what happens. 250 people are going to die. This is what he says. They knew that one person was going to survive out of the 250 people bringing the machtos with the pans, and that Aaron was going to be up against all 250 of them. One person was going to survive out of that 251 people. They knew that. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven that some of them should survive. He just said, 250 people, dead. That's it. Done. He didn't daven. He didn't ask for anything.
But that's what Moshe did. Moshe, his entire time, he never asks questions.
He prays. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I'm going to kill the people. And he says, no, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't. He couldn't daven for 250 of the Nitzvim. He couldn't daven for 250 of the greatest people.
That's different. That's when he's threatening to exterminate Bnei Yisrael. But when it's a couple individuals, when he's going to do an act, like split the sea or something, Moshe follows him. Moshe's like a puppet. He goes along with almost like
Bada'i. I hear you. In the end, there's a Magepa with way over 20,000 people that died. All because of what happened with Korach. 20,000 people dead, and Moshe didn't daven for them. He yells at them. He says, Rab Lecham Bnei Levi, it's enough for you, Bnei Levi. You don't need any more than what you already have. Hama'at Mikem is it's so little that which you've done up until now. He starts yelling at them. He goes to Dasan Aviram and he asks them to do tshuva. And after they say no, Vayichar L'Moshe Ma'od, he got very angry. Since when does Moshe Rabbeinu get angry? When does he get angry? When does that happen? He's davening for everything that's happened up until now. Now all of a sudden, you know what it seems like? It seems like, oh, they were pogging in the covenant of Moshe. Up until now, they've been going up against God. God did this, God did that. So it sounds like when it was God, Moshe was like, come on, just let him go, it's fine. But all of a sudden they argue about him, and Moshe went himself to listen, I don't know. I don't think they can fight me. And all of a sudden he doesn't daven for them. It seems to be the biggest power in the world, and you're not allowed to leave before you answer this question, because these are very, very strong questions. These are questions that are powerful enough to turn you off the derrick if a person gets up and leaves. It's a huge question. Can you imagine what he said? Don't listen to their korbanos. If Dustin and Abiram do tshuva, don't listen. Can you imagine that? Don't listen to their tshuva. They shouldn't be able to do tshuva. How come Moshe Rabbeinu ask such things? Okay, so last week's parsha, there are people called the Mapiyun. They ran up the mountain after the miracles were said and done, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. Certain people from Klal Yisrael ran up the mountain. They said, we're going to do it anyway. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't go. Altalu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with you. You're all going to die. They said, we're doing it anyway. They ran up the mountain, and they all died. So the Chassam Sofer says last week, it was absolute tshuva gemura. Tshuva gemura means you take the sin that you did, and you turn it around completely. What did they do wrong in last week's parsha? They didn't believe that God had the power to save them when everybody was telling them, you're not going to win, you're not going to win, they're too big of giants, they're too powerful, you're not going to win. They didn't believe that God had the power. So now, what did they do? They went to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, we're going to go fight the giants. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're not going to win. You're not going to do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not with you. And they said, no, God's with us. Tshuva gemura. And were moser nefesh to kill themselves in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, moser nefesh, in order to get to Eretz Yisrael and show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we really have bitachon that you'll be able to do everything for us. And they died. They were moser nefesh. And they died. But there was absolute tshuva gemura, and they may have been the only people in Dor HaMidbar to ever get Olam Haba. Nobody, Dor HaMidbar was not supposed to have a chelek in Olam Haba. They may have been the only ones to have had that chelek in Olam Haba. Korach and his Ada weren't involved in that. But they wanted to go in anyway. And they wanted to do something different. Blame other people for their own failures. When they saw that the Meraglim failed, that they couldn't go through with that, and they didn't want to be the Meraglim, they didn't want to give up their lives for it. So what did they do? Korach and his Ada came up with a different idea. It's not our fault. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the leader is in charge of us, and if the leader failed to send the Meraglim in the right way, remember it was Moshe Rabbeinu's idea to send the Meraglim, Shlach Lecha Anashim, the people asked for it, Moshe Rabbeinu agreed with it, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give his full Haskama, so they said, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's fault, blame it on him. Not blaming their own failures and their own problems and things that they might have done wrong. They look at Moshe Rabbeinu and say, it's you! It's you! That was the biggest Chilul Hashem that you could possibly make. That when you have a person who clearly talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you doubt the veracity of his nevuah. That when they said Shlach Lecha Anashim, they said, it was you, Moshe Rabbeinu, that made that decision. When they look at Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, who are you to make these decisions for us, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly chose him, and after he did everything at Har Sinai, and after everything that happened at Kriyas Yam Suf, it wasn't about Moshe Rabbeinu's covet, as we know, Hayanav Mikol Adam. He was the biggest, most humble person that there ever was. There's no such thing as a humble person like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, you could speak about him, Mamash, was like speaking about a table. It felt like a piece of wood. He didn't feel anything. He didn't feel anything bad about himself. But when you hear a person say, it's not us, it's you, it's that other person, you can't let that go. That's the biggest Chilul Hashem there could possibly be. But I want you to think about this for a second. Think about it. How many times during the day do you blame others for things that you've made a little bit of a mistake on? You might not have done the entire thing, but you screwed up a little bit. Something happened in the house. You blame your wife, or you blame your mom, or you blame your brothers, or your sisters, or something else that happened. You blame someone else. It wasn't me. Could you have cleaned it up before that thing spilled? Could you have seen that little thing of orange juice before it fell down on the ground? Yeah, of course you could have. But it wasn't me. The other guy spilled it. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. If a person stops and thinks to himself, how ridiculous am I being? What big deal is it for me to just take the blame, take the heat, just say, I'm sorry, it was partly my fault as well. Partly my responsibility. The world would be a better place. That was Korach's real problem. Korach's real issue was the fact that he couldn't understand that he had done anything wrong. He knew that there were great things that he had done and there were great things that he was going to do. His future descendant was going to be Shmuel Anavi. You can't get much better than that. Shmuel Anavi is equal to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe Aaron, the Chonav, Shmuel, the Korei Shemo, we stand Kabbalah Shabbos. Shmuel was equal to Moshe and Aaron, says the Gemara Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chaf Hey. Equal to him. And that was going to be from Korach. And Korach said, if that's my descendant, think about me. I'm closer to Matan Torah. I must be greater than Shmuel and Avi, which means I'm greater than Moshe and Aaron. He couldn't fathom that he had ever done anything wrong. Couldn't fathom there was anything that he could possibly think of that he did something wrong. So what happened? What made him think this way? I'm going to tell you how the Yetzer Hara works. There's two different ways. By regular Rishonim, you see a rush on the outside. That's just Pashut. You see a guy who does evil things on the outside. Yetzer Hara doesn't even really have to do anything anymore. Yetzer Hara is pretty much done. He looks at the guy and he says, all right, I'm done with you. If a guy sins on Yom Kippur, the Sutton doesn't work, he's got a day off. I don't know where he goes. Costa Rica. I have no idea. Maybe Nicaragua. I mean, there's a lot of war there. Oh, you met him there. It's good. Tell me next time you see him, right? There's something sitting around there, and he has nothing to do. If you sin on Yom Kippur, that wasn't the Satan or the Yetzer Hara or the Malach HaMavis. That was you. You can also sin. There's nothing to do. Don't blame it. When you go up to Shemayim, you go, oh, man, the Yetzer Hara was crazy. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to pull it out, and you're going to be like, Yetzer Hara didn't even try. It was you. You yourself wanted to sin. It's like a person on Shabbos who keeps breaking Shabbos to the point where it's not the Yetzer Hara anymore that's making you break Shabbos. You're breaking Shabbos. It's part of you. You don't even think about it anymore. It's just automatic I turn on the light. It's automatic that I cook something on Shabbos. It's automatic that I go somewhere on Shabbos. It just happens. That's not the Yetzer Hara. That's you. It's a different story altogether. That's not who we're talking about here. The Eben Shlomo the Gra says it's a different type of Yetzer Hara. His Yetzer Hara knows. He knows. If a person looks evil on the outside, he's got that look, you know, he's got like, I don't know, raised eyebrow, maybe like a little bit of horns on top of that, that's good, like a devil's tail, like a pitchfork, and he's walking around saying like, hey, join me. Nobody's going to join him. They're going to look at him and they're going to ostracize the guy. They're going to say, like, listen, you're evil, you're clearly all red, I'm not going to go anywhere near you. But if the guy looks good on the outside, if the guy has a great look, the guy looks unbelievable, great looking guy, great looking clothes, great looking car, the guy seems kosher beyond belief, maybe even has a long white beard. A long white beard. Charles Darwin also had a long white beard, by the way. You look at a picture of Charles Darwin, you will not tell the difference between him and any Gubbel in Klal Yisrael. You look at this, which Gubbel is this? My kid wanted it for a Gubbel picture when he saw a picture of Charles Darwin. It's like, oh, wow. Hey, look at Darwin. The Darwiner. it's unbelievable. The Satan knows if he looks good on the outside, then people are going to listen to him. So if a person has no issues bein adam l'chavero, that means that he may have major issues bein adam l'makom. You got to look inside because the satan goes on the inside. The Yetzer Hara knows. He can't get him on the outside. So on the outside, he does everything right. It's on the inside. When he's alone in his house, what happens when he misses a minyan? How long does his davening take? Or does he daven at all? Does he put on tefillin? Does he put it on for a second? Do you just throw them on? Does he even look at any svarim when he's at home, or he just has them on his shelf because, you know, somebody comes by, like, oh, you get that for your bar mitzvah? Yeah. Yeah, and when you open it for the first time, it's got that crack. You know, you hear that crack in the background, you're just like, oh, I love that sound. That's why I don't open them up. Never. That's the reason why. Missionaries are charismatic. They're good looking. They don't take missionaries that look like bums off the street. They don't take that guy off McCormick and say, like, here, be our missionary. Go convince people to become Christian. Because it's not going to work. People are going to look at him and be like, look at you. What do you mean? I should be like you? I want to be like me. You should be like me. Join me. They do that on purpose because these people have to look that way. Yitzhara knows that. Korach looked awesome. He may have been bald. He was bald like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was also known as bald. Cooked nonim at Aleph.
He had that
toastless.
Cool bald with a little goatee.
Oh, very good. He had that look. The look that you can't imagine. Elisha, exactly. All the people were bald because they, you know why? They had no, their Torah was so great. They couldn't have any bad thoughts. One of the reasons why you have hair is from achshavos rosh, from bad thoughts, evil thoughts that enter inside your head, that sprout out hairs like a chia pet, that starts growing out from your head. That's where it comes from achshavos rosh. If you have only pure Torah thoughts, you're bald. Rabbi Akiva had that. A ton of people. The more hair you have, it's a problem. Davidra, I was talking to you. It's a problem. That's what Korah was all about, and he looked awesome. But on the inside, the Yetzer Hara sat there and destroyed him, took apart his insides. He started, do you know what he took? Vayikach Korach. What did he take? Lokach his atzmo. Took himself. You know what atzmo means? His atzmis, himself, what he felt like doing. He never had an atzmo before this. Korach, he was subservient to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the king. Don't do anything to Moshe Rabbeinu. He couldn't think about going near Moshe Rabbeinu. But all of a sudden, Lokach es atzmo, he found out, and the Yetzer Hara got him inside, got him with the meragim, got him with these tainas that we said before. And said, what's going on here? And he started saying to himself, Lokach es atzmo, what about me? Who am I? I'm pretty choshev. I'm pretty darn choshev. He had a great nevuah, a prophecy that showed him that his future descendant was going to be Shmuel and Avi. And he said, unbelievable. So why am I the fourth in command? Why am I all the way down? Eliyahu Safon is put in front of me, in charge of the Levim. Where am I? I should be the most choshev person out there. In fact, I'm probably more choshev than Aaron. I didn't do the Egel Azov. He did. He was involved in the Egel Azov. I wouldn't have decided to send the Meraglim. I've been learning Torah my entire life. That's what Korach was thinking. And they were great tainas. His chitzonius remained unchanged, unfazed. The only way to see it was by looking at the person with an unbelievable eye, an eye of spirituality. But if you saw him, you wouldn't notice a difference. He was Waka Chatzatma and became a brand new person that was an atzmo. Felt that he was more important than everybody else and blame everybody else because he himself never did anything wrong. What started that off? The nevuah. So the Radomsker asked, and I've never heard this question before, genius question. The Radomsker, the Tiferet Shlomo asks, then why did he get the nevuah? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to him? If he wouldn't have gotten this nevuah, it never would have happened. So don't give it to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen in the future, so why did he bother giving him the nevuah if he knew that Korach was going to go off because of it? Listen to this answer. Everyone has this. Every single person says the Radomsker. When a person becomes great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows you a vision of yourself and makes you think that you're choshev. He sits you and says, that shir you gave, it was great. It was unbelievable. Everybody loved it. There was not one person who didn't like it. Unbelievable shir. And you have to sit there and say, oh, stop it. Because it's not true. It's not me. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you have that one thought of, it was me, it was all me, then you're Korach. You did the exact same thing that he did. The exact same about. It's the ego. It's the Yitzhahara that's inside you. On the outside, you look great. On the outside, you got the white shirt, you got the black pants, you got the suit, you got the tie. You may have the frock. You may have the hat. You might have the top hat. There's not even a little pinch inside there. You look choshev. You look like a Rosh Hashiva. You look unbelievable. From the inside, you're garbage. You're absolute garbage because you think it's you and not anybody else. Nobody else could do this like I do it. That's what you're thinking to yourself. That's what Korach is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it to everybody. Everyone has it. There's stories from the Baal Shem Tov, one after the other, about the gaiva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to give to him. And he had to knock himself down and say, what's that? I didn't do anything. If a gadol goes around and somebody says to him, you davened for this person, and it was answered, way to let that person live. If the girl says, yeah, it was me, and then he's garbage. He's garbage. You can't do that. It's absurd to even think that way. To think that you might be able to do something close to that. You have to be on the level of Moshe, but it's to be an anav mikol adam. An anav mikol adam in order to say, I have the power to be able to do this. Korach failed miserably when he let his gaiva take over him and decided that now he's going to do it. You have to see, by the way, the key to knowing this is whether you're lazy in your avodas Hashem afterward. If after you go ahead and you do something unbelievable, if you're lazy about it and you don't continue, then you know you failed. And that's what Korach did. He's just lazy. So what did he do? Everybody knows the famous Medrash. Medrash Tanchuma, Medrash Rabba. He brought a talis full of tchilas, went up to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, does this require tzitzis? And what did Moshe Rabbeinu answer? Yeah. And it requires tzitzis with tchilas on it as well.
Why would Korach, he said, why would Korach make tzitzis? I don't see why that didn't mean.
We have to find out what his time is. Hold on one second. I have a better question for you. I have a better question that I'm going to bring it up for you. Number two, a room full of sparim. Sparim all over the place. Do you need to have a mezuzah? Do you need to bring a mezuzah? Do you need to put a mezuzah on the door? Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes. And Korach looks at him and says, if the tchelet on the string potters a whole white beged, shouldn't the beged of tchelet be good enough for everything? If the sparim all around have all the words of the mezuzah inside them, don't you think a mezuzah should be pottered from everything that's inside the room? That's what Korach said. Once my Rebbe once, Rav Chassid, Rabbi Rachmiel Chassid, he's now a Rebbe in the Mir Yeshiva. I went to him my third year in Eretz Yisrael, so what, 9 years ago? 9 years ago altogether, I went to him and I said, what was the answer to the claims? And Korach had some pretty good tainus. What was the answer? What was the answer? So Rav Chassid looked at me and said, you thought there were good claims? Similar to what you just said, Jacob. You thought there were good claims? It was idiocy. Kadosh Baruch Hu told you you're chayiv and tzitzis. We think because the beged's tchilas, all of a sudden it's putter and tzitzis? We think because the room has sfarim? There's a chiv of mezuzah. you have any idea why there's a mezuzah? What you think it's because of Shmira? Do you have any idea what the reason why behind a mezuzah is? All of a sudden you can time it, you can think that, oh, I have a room full of sperm? Oh, what does that mean? Well, why in the world would that be so? A Kodesh Baruch Hu said you got to put a mezuzah on the doorway. So why would that be pondered? Why would Korach even think differently? So listen to these tainas. It's a Ksav Sofer and a Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer says the following. There's two reasons why we have tzitzis. Two reasons. One is to remind us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the famous 613, 600 from the Gematria of tzitzis, and then 8 strings and 5 knots, 613 altogether, to remind us of mitzvos. That's why you're supposed to keep them out. If you can, you have them out in order to always remind yourself, you have mitzvos to do. I always have mitzvos to do, or at least have them on, so you always remember there's mitzvos to do. But some people don't need a reminder. Some people are always doing mitzvahs. So you have tcheles. Why tcheles? Because tcheles looks like the yam, and the yam looks like the sky, and the sky looks like the kisei hakavod. To remind you to have a cheshek, to have a desire to learn more and more and more and more. Now, a big tzaddik does not need a reminder. All he needs is the desire. So if the beged is all of tcheles, does it require tzitzis? Said Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, it requires tzitzis, because you still got to have the reminder. You still got a reminder. You got to have mitzvos. Said Korach, I don't need the reminder. I'm beyond that level. I don't need tzitzis for that reason. I only need tzitzis for the cheshek. So I don't need tzitzis. I don't need the little strings coming off of my beged. I just need the cheshek. And the blue is good enough for me. So I'm greater than you, Moshe Rabbeinu. You need the strings. I don't. Taina number one. Taina number two. Why do you have a mezuzah on the door? Korach thought that the reason why is because the door is like a mouth. And the mouth needs shmira in order to make sure that things don't come out right. So you put not a sefer Torah on the doorway. You take 4 parshios, Shema, Bahayim, Shema, and Bahayim Shemoa, and then Bahayim Kiviyako, and all the Petarechim. And you put them up there in order to show a person. These are called the parshios of the Baalei Tshuva. The parshios that a person who wants to do tshuva, when he does something right, this is what he learns, and this is what he says, and it becomes a Baal Tshuva. Says Korach, I'm a Baal Tshuva, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not. Because even though I wasn't involved in the Egel Azov, I wasn't mocha like I should have been. I didn't complain like I should have. And therefore, I did tshuva for what I've done wrong, and I'm a Baal Tshuva. You are just a tzaddik. Who's better, a Baal Tshuva or a tzaddik? The Malkum Shabali Tshuva and Omdin Ein Tzaddikim Yechol Lamodo. The place where Baal Tshuva are, a tzaddik cannot stand. So said Korach, his time was, I'm a Baal Tshuva. I'm greater than you. I'm greater than you. I only need a cheshek and I'm a Baal Tshuva, so I'm greater than you'll ever be.
Aaron
is greater. You're right. The tainas are different depending on who you're referring to. The first one was to Moshe Rabbeinu. The second one was Aaron. But meaning, that's what he was arguing about. As we started off, what were his complaints on Moshe and Aaron? So he brought 2 tainas. One for Moshe, one for Aaron. There was a third, by the way, Tzaras. Tzaras is a different issue altogether, but that's another issue.
I don't get the complaint for the mezuzah. What was the issue?
The mezuzah was, if the whole purpose of the mezuzah is a shmira, and the door is supposed to be like the mouth of a person, and you need a shmir on that mouth, you need lips around it to stop yourself from saying stupid things. So you have the words of a Baal Tshuva, of what to say and what not to say, on the mezuzah. Not the whole Sefer Torah, but just those words that are the parshios of the Baal Tshuva, says the Ksam Sofer, you put up on the wall. That means that you're a Baal Tshuva. The Baal Tshuva is greater. The Baal Tshuva should be greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. But obviously, it was such a shame. Do you honestly think, anybody here, that because you feel bad about watching Conan one night when it was late at night, that you're better than Rav Elyashiv? I mean, is that all of a sudden, I did tshuva for everything that I've done, so the day after Yom Kippur, I become greater than Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who's never done anything like that before in his life? Does that put me on the same level as him? That put me on the same area. It's not even the same. You can't even put myself on the same pedestal. Maybe the fact that I'm on this level and I started off over here and I moved myself to over here and Rav Elyashiv started off over here because he lived in Meir and he had a gadol as a father and this and that, but I'm over here. So maybe that's equal. But when we're talking about who's greater, who's a bigger tzaddik, does anybody even compare? I'm not comparing these donuts. You're right. I didn't say I'm not comparing these donuts. I'm saying who's a higher tzaddik? Who's a higher tzaddik? Who looks like a bigger tzaddik? Me or Rav Elyashiv? Do I even have the audacity to even come anywhere close to saying that I'm like this gadol because I'm a Baal Tshuva? What kind of stupidity could have led Korach to be able to say such a statement? How could he have come up to such a thing and say, B'malkos Shabbali Tshuva, and all of a sudden? Because the pshat is, because the pshat is that people start thinking such great things about themselves. I started working on myself, and the satan knows it. And satan allows you to work on yourself, and allows you to do tshuva, and allows you to think good things. And then he sits there and he says to you, feel good about yourself. You're about tshuva. You're greater than all the tzaddikim out there. And he starts bringing out all the little gemaras about being about tshuva. And the key is to say to yourself, calm down. I've done nothing so far. I am not knocking down, this is parenthetical, I am not knocking down anyone who has done tshuva, and anybody who's done something wrong who's bringing themselves back, without a question, not knocking themselves down. But don't consider yourself better than someone who's never done it in the first place. I always hated it when there was a guy who did unbelievably things wrong that I always said no to when I was in high school and when I was out of high school, that I always said no, 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 no. When somebody did those things all the time, then all of a sudden, a couple years later, stopped himself from doing it and thought he was better than me. Look at him. I said no. You weren't strong enough to say no. So all of a sudden you're strong enough to say no, so you're better than me? That's gaiva, by the way, also. But there's gaiva on both sides. You got to start thinking to yourself, where am I and who am I? There's no one here that I can honestly say is less than me. Because everybody here has that little thing that they're working on. Everybody has that thing that they've worked on, that they've done for themselves. And then I also have to say to myself, the other things where I have to say to myself, I'm better. And I have to work on that. And that's the little bit, the eighth of an eighth of gaiva that a person should have. It's a huge level, and that's what Korach had a problem with. Here we go. Rav Lachem Bnei Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu said it to them. Hold on, I'll explain it a little bit more. No matter how great you are, said Moshe Rabbeinu, there's always a Rav. There's somebody who's in charge of you. There's someone who's greater than you. No matter how good of a swimmer you are, there's still Michael Phelps. No matter how great of a golfer you are, there's still Tiger Woods. And even they lose sometimes. There's always somebody better at some point in time. There's no such thing as a person just being automatically great and the greatest ever without there being machlokism or somebody saying there's something or another, whatever it is. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right. When it comes to Anivus and when it comes to his Nevuah, the Torah tafkins about him that he was the greatest Navi of all time and the biggest Anav of all time.
There has to be a best somewhere.
Yeah, David Melon.
There are certain people who can be best, but it never means at all times. Because there are certain times where other people can become greater. And it's not where the person that always has it. There's always certain things. There can be an act that he did that's greater than any other act. But the person as a whole, it's impossible to say that someone's all good. That's what Korach was tying in.
Is Moshe better than Avraham?
And I'll tell you why. You can't tie in such things. You can't tie in such things. I'll tell you why. Because you can't go ahead. If you would just say, and this is really Korach's tying in. Listen. We shouldn't have Aaron as the Kohen Gadol or Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader. Let's have everybody who's great at that time become the leader. Aaron's kids automatically become Kohanim? No. Have the greatest person who's there at that time become the Kohanim. Is Aaron's kids the best? I don't know. Is Yaakov Lo the greatest person in the stable? If he is, then he'll become the Kohen and he'll serve in the Beis Hamikdash. If he's not, then we'll let somebody else. We got another, we got Blaze, we got Eli, we have somebody else. We'll bring the Levium in, we'll bring somebody else. Instead, Korach, why do you need an automatic Kohen? It doesn't have to be go by lineage, it doesn't have to go by the father, it doesn't have to go by their parental lineage, it could go by anybody. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, Korach, do you realize how silly of a taina that is? And this is why you couldn't argue for it. If that's true, then the Jews are no better than any other nation. Because why are we greater than anyone else? Because our parents were Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's what makes us greater than any other nation in the world. Even if the other nations do greater deeds, we are the sons of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so automatically we have something above everybody else. Everyone else. There's no one that comes anywhere close to us because we have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We have the Avos. We have the prototypes. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted in the world, there's no one that comes anywhere near. If you say that you should just give it out to the greatest person at the time, then that should go by religion as well. Right now, who's the greatest nation? Is it the Jews? Then the Jews will be chosen by God. We'll be the chosen nation. If not, then they'll be the chosen nation. Who knows? Maybe it'll be somebody else. So Moshe Rabbeinu, do you realize how far-reaching that taina is? Do you realize how bad that taina is? And, hey, I'm going to put this also in parentheses. We're not going through this year. The future neshama of Korach, you know, the Gilgal of Korach, went into Yeshu. There's raya after raya after raya, at least 15 rayas for Korach being Yeshu. You know what the pshat is behind Yeshu? It's no longer that they're the chosen nation. The new chosen nation are the people that are great right now. The people that deserve it right now. Forget about the parents. It's us right now. It's not the Jews anymore. They used to be. They don't deny the fact that the Jews are number one. They deny the fact that the Jews are number one right now. It was Korach's Kaina. The exact same one. Because it was Korach. This was Kayin's Taina all the way back when. Kayin's Taina. What, Hebel's greater than me? I came up with the idea of a Korban. What does that mean? It's Hebel's fault for my Korban not being accepted. Because his Korban was better than mine. Not my problem because I gave a bad Korban. It's his fault because in comparison to his, mine looks bad. That's Kayin's Taina. Yeshu's Taina. Of going up and saying, it's not my fault. It's their fault. It's the Jews' fault for not believing. And therefore we should start another nation. Such a crazy, far-reaching Taina. So Moshe told them to take the maktos, the pans, right? Take the pans. And everybody, and only one person is going to survive. Why did they say yes? Why would you say yes? Did all these 250 really think they were greater than Korach and Aaron? I mean, if you want to say Korach went up against Aaron, I hear that. Each one had an ego. I mean, Aaron was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Korach had an ego, and Korach thought that I could beat Aaron. But the 250 men, who did these guys think they were? Oh, there's John, and there's Jack, and there's Bill, and there's Rob, and who are these guys? Nisiyeh dekruim oed anshei shem, the pasuk calls them. And they decided that they were better than Aaron and Korach? What were they thinking? Talked about them appealing before. Now we're going to manage to take it all the way down. Take it completely. And later on, Bnei Yisrael complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, Atem Amitem Esam Hashem, you killed the people of God. You killed them. Because you made them do the Ketores. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't kill them. He said you were going to die if you do this. He said, anybody who wants to take a pan, go ahead and take a pan, you're going to die. That's what he told them. He didn't say anything different. He didn't say anything that was going to kill them. What were the people thinking? What?
He take a pan?
No, only Aaron. Aaron and the other 250. Why did Aaron do it?
Yeah, I was like, I don't want that.
Aaron was chosen. There's no question that he had to do it. No question that he had to do it. Yeah, 100%. 100%. So what did they want? Here's what messed them over. When you purely love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart, what is the only thing that you want to do? The only thing you want to do? Serve Him. Do whatever He wants. Do anything that brings me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Korach had these times. But what started him off and what got him going was an unbelievable love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the likes of which no person has ever had. No one has ever come anywhere close to this type of a love. Korach and the other people that are there saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their own eyes. Mi Lashem Elai, Korach said, me, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to do everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when Moshe Rabbeinu offered them the chance to be Makriv HaKorban, even though they knew they were going to die if they did it, and they had to be Moser Nefesh for it, they were willing to be Moser Nefesh to serve God once. They knew they were going to die. Their Taina was sitting there saying, please let us do an Avodah similar to the Kohen Gadol. If we could be the Kohen Gadol, that's one thing. If we could be Kohanim, that's another thing. And they felt that they were roi to become a Kohen, or roi to become a Kohen Gadol. But all they wanted was to do an Avodah. Is a different story altogether, not for this year. Different story altogether. That's why it was two different deaths. The fire and the pit. The pit sent them straight down to Gehenna. The fire brought them straight up to Shemayim. Totally different tainas. Totally different tainas. Completely different from what they wanted. They had the sin of Nadav and Avihu. What did Nadav and Avihu do when they went inside the Beis HaMikdash? The Korva Som Lifnei Hashem Bayamusa, they got too close. They wanted to be Makrav Ketores. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us a chance. They didn't get the chance because Aaron was supposed to do it. They said, we can't hold it back anymore. We have so much love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't do it. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's the Kulot Cheles, the pure Cheshek that you guys have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Korach said, we just want to be with God. That's all we want. We don't want anything else. We want to be a perfect Jew, not just to live religiously. We want to have the religion so ingrained within us, we can't do anything else.
So a lot of people say that they murdered
Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, okay, I'll let you guys serve. Said Bnei Yisrael, they weren't going to say no. You knew they were going to do this. You knew they were going to die. If you offered them the chance to do this, these tzaddikim, they're not going to say no. Each one of them is going to be Makar Victorious, even though they knew they were going to die to get that one chance. How could you even offer it to them? If you wouldn't have offered it to them, eventually you would have talked them down and everything would have been okay. You would have been a chalal Hashem for a little bit and everything would have been okay. But you offered them, they died from it. You knew this was going to happen. Moshe Rabbeinu, how could you allow this to happen? Said a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're willing to prolong my chalal Hashem just so a couple people are alive? Moshe Rabbeinu did the right thing. You get rid of a chalal Hashem as soon as you can. You destroy a chalal Hashem as soon as you can, even if it means the death of some Jews. Even of Kruei Moed, Nisiyim of Kal Yisrael, Anshei Shein. You have to get rid of a chalal Hashem right now and get rid of it now. But it was a tzibur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do so. What about Korach? How did he die? You saw Ben Yoyada this week. Unbelievable. So I had this diak a long time ago, and then I saw it in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf. I forgot it again. Kuf Yodam and Aleph. Kuf Yodam and Aleph. Look what happens over here. Vativ Dak Oretz its Pia, Pasuk Lamed Beis. The ground opened up its mouth. Vativ Lo Sum, it swallowed up them, referring to Dustin and Abiram who were arguing. Vespatam and their houses. This Kola Adam Asher LaKorach. And all the people that Korach had, this Kola Rechush and all of his riches. What about Korach? Korach's not there. Then later on, the Eish Yatzam Eish Hashem, a fire came out from God, and it consumed the 250 men that were Makriv Victoris. What about Korach? Now, Chazal, don't tell me, oh, it's just the new. Chazal darshan from this. What happened to Om Ben Pelas? What did they darshan? Because Om Ben Pelas was saved by his wife. So he didn't die. What about Korach? Where's Korach? So, the fact is, in Parshas Pinchas, in Perek Chav Vav Pasuk Yud, it does say a line, but the line is extremely confusing. The Pasuk says, Chav Vav Yud, it says, Vatitach Aretz Esfiyah, the land opened up its mouth, Vatibla Usam, and it swallowed up them, Ve'es Korach, Ve'mosu'ida, and Korach, in the death of the congregation, Ba'ho'a Ishas Chamishu Masayim Ish, Vayu L'Nais, when the fire was consuming the 250 men and it was an ace. Sounds like Korach was involved in both. Doesn't really explain really so much. It's that the people of Sambas Korach Ba'acho Ish when the fire was consuming. So what's going on here? What happened to Korach? Why doesn't it say it over here? Shad is Korach was not like the rest of the people. Korach mamish deserved to be a Kohen Gadol. But the problem was he thought he deserved to be the Kohen Gadol. So for that he had a different type of a death. He was so close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and so much of a tzaddik and so kadosh beyond any of the other people there. He couldn't die the same death as theirs. The other people, the way they died was not only was their neshamas burnt, but their bodies were burnt as well, says the Ben Yishai. The whole thing, the 250 people, the whole thing, both their neshamas and their bodies were totally burnt. But Korach, only his neshama burnt. His body remained intact. His neshama was the only thing that was taken straight up to Shemayim. His body, however, for causing all this to happen, rolled all the way to Dustin and Abiram and the rest of them, and his body was swallowed up by the earth. Swallowed up by the earth and sent straight down to Ganon. But after he was already dead. So Korach was not like the Sruthim. He wasn't like the people that got burned up, because the other people that got burned up got their bodies burned as well. He only had his neshama burned. But he wasn't like the Bluim, because those people who got swallowed up were swallowed up alive. Korach was not swallowed up alive. Korach was swallowed up dead. Thus, the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Daf Kuf Yud, Korach lo mina bluim v'lo mina srufim ava. He wasn't swallowed up. He wasn't burned. He was neither one. Says Rashi, b'magefa mesa. He died in a plague. Says the Ben Yishai, what that means is he had both. He needed both punishments because, yes, he had this tremendous idea that his neshama wanted to be mamish close with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The other 250 people did it purely l'shem Shemayim. But because Korach started this fight, and because the Sufim, the Yitzhahara, had gotten a hold of him on the inside and twisted him around to make him think that you're so great, you're so unbelievable, his body didn't deserve to go to Shemayim by itself. His body went straight down to Gehenna. We have no idea what Korach is going to be like in Olam Haba. Whether he'll have his goof or he'll never be able to have his goof back. But he's definitely not like the other people. Death was completely different from everybody else. Hope we've spoken a little bit about the greatness of Korach. Dustin Aviram, totally different. Mamish Rishayim Gemurim, they're on Sanhedrin. For Rishayim Gemurim, we'll talk about them next time.